Our gospel reading is a continuation of John chapter 6, and we pick up now with people coming to find out what's gone on and what they've experienced in the feeding of the thousands. We begin with verse 24. So when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum looking for Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "What sign are you going to give us then, so that we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." May we be blessed in the hearing of this good news. Pray with me, please. We ask, Lord God, that through the agency of your Holy Spirit, the bread of the word be broken for us this day, so that we might be nourished, so that we might grow as followers of Jesus, your Son, the bread of life. Open to us the way that you would have us travel. Open to us the way that you would have us live. And may my poor words and the meditations of our hearts together give you the praise, the glory, and the honor that is yours alone. Amen. When I was a kid, and that was some time ago, you saw Wonder Bread advertised everywhere. I even wondered if they still made Wonder Bread, but I understand that they do. See, I grew up in Indianapolis, and that's where Wonder Bread was first baked back in 1921. The advertisements early on said that a wonder was coming. Evidently, the gentleman who owned the Continental Baking Company there in Indianapolis had gone to a balloon ascension at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. And after that, he wanted balloons on his wrapper. A wonder was coming. Later on, Buffalo Bob on Howdy Doody said that we should look for those red, yellow, and blue balloons on the wrappers, and that Wonder Bread builds strong bodies 8 ways. Now, of course, he was talking about the nutrients that were added to the flour, which had to be added because by bleaching the wheat, they had stripped all of the natural nutrients out of it. Later on, they would add 4 more nutrients so that it would build strong bodies 12 ways. All I knew was that I thought we should get it. And so I nagged my mother until we did. Good advertising. So enriched bleached white flour bread. Later, I would hear a philosophy professor when I was in school refer to it as pictures of bread pasted on dough. A profound and observant man, my professor. Now, because, do an experiment sometime. Take really good bread and do this with a piece of bread, and what will happen? Crumbs. Do that to a piece of Wonder Bread, and what will you get? A blob. I don't think I've eaten a slice of bleached flour bread since when given the choice. Wonder Bread was hardly a wonder when you think of it, but it sold itself. And I guess we all need a little wonder, especially if it can build bodies 8 or even 12 different ways. Perhaps that's why people came flocking after Jesus on the opposite side of the lake. They were looking for a little wonder, and this fellow had taken a few loaves of ordinary bread and fed a great crowd of people. When they met Jesus, they asked him exactly the wrong question. So he gave them the question that they should have asked. He gave that answer to them. They should have asked what those signs they had seen meant, what they pointed to, and not how to get the wonder bread. Jesus told them to ask about the sign so that they could find out about something far more valuable than the wonder bread. If they sought after the meaning of the sign, then they could find out about the food that was available for eternal life. What they saw was only the sign of something far deeper, given by God the Father through the Son of Man, the real wonder bread. God's covenant promise of presence and care is sealed through the bread of life. A seal is something which guarantees authenticity. In our day, it guarantees freshness. For example, did you know that the color tie on the wonder bread lets you know on what day it was baked? I didn't know it either until I found it online. Oh, the internet is a wondrous thing. On the other hand, it also tells us that a product hasn't been tampered with, like the seals on dairy products and the like. Jesus, then, is the seal on the Father's covenant activity. Jesus has the full credentials to offer the gift of new life, to offer participation in the divine nature that God desires to share with us. So Jesus tells the crowd, "Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you." He's saying that he will show us the way to build bodies, our own, that of the community, and beyond, in one way, following him. Finally, the crowd asked the correct question, a question which is still at the core of the search for spiritual meaning. What must we do to be doing the works of God? And the answer is quite straightforward. This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. In short, to do the work of God is to have faith. The essential disposition to receive the bread of life, the real wonder bread, is to believe in Jesus, to accept his message, and to follow his example. The bread of life and all that it brings is available to us when we allow ourselves to believe. Moreover, belief is not a simple intellectual assent to a series of propositions. Someone who believes lives a life molded by and transformed by those beliefs. To come to real belief, then, is not as simple as it appears. Given what these people had already experienced, you would have think they would have responded right then and there. However, they were still looking for the red, yellow, and blue balloons. So their response is, "So, show us something. Do something so that we can believe in you." Their attitude is one of disbelief and resistance to the message that's set before them. They immediately took a defensive posture, and they began to look to their religious history for precedent for their position. And the crowd argued with Jesus that their ancestors had received a visible sign from God, the manna in the wilderness. Now, what was Jesus going to do to top the sign given through the hand of Moses? Well, the truth is that there is never enough proof for those who need to have things proved to them. Let me say it again. The truth is there is never enough proof for those who need to have things proved to them. They saw what Jesus did in feeding the crowd. They all saw the departure of the disciples in the boat long before Jesus left them. Yet he was there in Capernaum, and they had not seen him on the road, nor had they walked with him. So how did he get there? The visible signs were there, but they were still not enough. By comparison, the true bread from heaven given now, Jesus, makes the manna of Moses' day completely insignificant. The bread of life offered now doesn't just sustain human life in the wilderness, it transforms the wilderness. And the wilderness it transforms is the alienation and the self-centeredness of human life itself. Yet, and here's the tragedy, nothing is helpful to those who are not prepared to receive God's gift as he gives it and not as we want it. You see, the crowd didn't want the true bread from heaven. They wanted Burger King. They wanted it their way. And God's way is not our way, because God's way is the way of self-giving love. Lord, give us this bread always. They ask for the bread, not understanding what it really is. The bread that never leaves one hungry is not a commodity. One does not buy this bread. Rather, one enters into relationship with it. The bread of life is not a thing. The bread of life is a person. The crowd was in conversation with the true bread, which had come down from heaven, and they hadn't a clue with whom they were speaking. The hunger that is filled is the hunger for meaning, the hunger for acceptance, the hunger for self-understanding. The bread of life assuages the hunger for all of what it means to be human, an embodied spirit, knowing that there is more to us than we can see or ever hope to understand. And when we open ourselves to what God has done in and through Jesus Christ, the bread of life, and through his teaching of radical self-giving love, then we are fed and we need hunger no more. We are restored to that for which we hunger, full humanity. And the real wonder is that this real wonder bread builds strong bodies, our own. And then it joins us in community with those around us. This is the wonder of what Jesus did by the lake when he took those 5 barley loaves, the common food of common people, and made them feed the crowd. He did something far more than magic. It was symbolic of what he does with our humanity. Jesus takes his own human nature and he makes something special of it through self-giving love. The story of the Eucharist, which is symbolically tied with this 6th chapter of John's Gospel, is more than just a ritual-surrounded sacrament, but a continual sign of God's care for us, given through unpretentious, ordinary, everyday things. When we come to understand that all of life is Eucharistic and what we do in the sacrament is merely a reminder that this is the case with all of life itself, then we start to get it. When we do the work of God, when we have the faith and we live in an unselfish manner, life's hidden meaning is open to us. And we know what it is to be truly, fully human. Not only that, to see life Eucharistically, all of it, as an opportunity for sharing the divine presence and offering thanksgiving is to rescue oneself and life itself from boredom. Why? Because when we open ourselves to the Father, as did Jesus, we begin to realize that all of life is filled with wonder. And everywhere we look, if we look close enough, God is there, ready to pop out when we least expect it. Each time we come together around the table, God offers to renew this relationship of the extraordinary and the ordinary. Our Puritan forebears understood this so well. As Peter Bulkley said, God is pleased in this sacrament to renew the seal of his covenant towards us for the settling of our faith and the establishment of us in the assurance of grace. What God offers to us, though, also implies a response on our part. And Thomas Preston said of the Lord's Supper, as this is the covenant on God's part that is sealed, so you must put your seal to it likewise, to confirm the condition of the covenant on your part, for all covenants must be mutual. Thus Paul begs the church at Ephesus to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all lowliness and meekness, with patience, forbearing one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Our response to God's love is to live life in a Eucharistic fashion, broken, shared, poured out for the sake of others. That manner of life will enable us, as Paul said, to speak the truth in love. In other words, we can be a community more concerned about honesty and growth than simply about being nice. Nathan was not nice to David, but he spoke the truth in love, calling David back to covenant relationship. And confronted with being the man in the story, David didn't try to blame others, didn't try to justify himself, or, you know, didn't try to blame it someplace else. What did he do? He repented. And what does it mean to repent? It means to turn around. He acknowledged his fault. He opened himself to change, and he moved on. Jesus spoke the truth in love. because his life was consonant with the teaching he offered. He became the bread broken and shared for others. Speak the truth in love is more than just offering criticism or pithy observations on what we see not being done. Rather, it is born out of our doing the tasks at hand and inviting others by means of our actions. It's building the body of the community through honest interaction. It's also being willing to own our faults and to open ourselves to change so that we might be the people that God created us to be. Unfortunately, many people take the position that I read about in a piece in the journal Leadership. This is what Wilbur Reese wrote. I would like to buy $3 worth of God, please. Not enough to explode my soul or disturb my sleep, but just enough to equal a cup of warm milk or a snooze in the sunshine. I don't want enough of him to make me love a black man or pick beets with a migrant. I want ecstasy, not transformation. I want warmth of the womb, not new birth. I want a pound of the eternal in a paper sack. I would like to buy $3 worth of God, please. Well, I'm afraid that God doesn't come in $3 increments. And the real wonder bread doesn't come in a sack with red, yellow, and blue balloons. It works transformation, though, and it will make us uncomfortable because it makes us grow, and with growth comes change. I leave you with wise words from a great soul who knew and feasted on the real wonder bread, the great theologian of the early church, Irenaeus, who said this: "It is not you who shapes God. It is God who shapes you. If then you are the work of God, await the hand of the artist who does all things in due season. Offer God your heart, soft and tractable, and keep the form in which the artist has fashioned you. Let your clay be moist, lest you grow hard and lose the imprint of God's fingers." The real wonder bread opens us to be God's people in the world. The real wonder bread gives us the nourishment we need to keep at the task, and it builds the strong body of the community of faith. To partake of the real wonder bread means exactly what Irenaeus is saying: offer God your heart. As we come to the table today, we have the opportunity to renew our commitment, to receive the seal of the covenant, and to be nourished by the presence of the real wonder bread. The real wonder bread doesn't come packaged with red, yellow, and blue balloons. Rather, it comes packaged in people and in communities of faith who love and who live as Jesus did. Come, as Augustine said, come and partake of what you really are. You are the bread that is on the table. You are the people of God. Amen.